Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We're currently going through the book of Mark with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Mark chapter 8, starting in verse 34, ending in verse 38, where we see that to be a disciple of Jesus, we must be avid learners of who he is and active pursuers of being more like him each day. Jesus didn't just call his 12 disciples to be pursuers of him, he called the people around them as well. And he calls us today to do the same. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Mark chapter 8, verse 34.
You know, for the gospel and for the glory of Jesus, what he's saying here is there's a calling at stake. What he's saying here is that there's a message to be proclaimed at stake. You guys got platforms I don't have. You got platforms that the person next to you doesn't have, in your neighborhood, in your family, in your workplace, in your school, in your buddy's ear, in your girlfriend's ear, whoever it would be, you guys got platforms I don't have, and vice versa. And what he's saying here is the longer you procrastinate deciding once and for all to be a disciple of Jesus, you're hindering the name of Jesus, which is the healing name, and the gospel of Jesus, which is the good news, from being heralded the way that he wants it to be. The world is in dire need for good news. I feel like Groundhog's Day for the last umpteen weeks right now. I feel like every time me and the team get together to pray for you before you come on Wednesday nights, it's the same conversation. It feels like it's been a long time since there's been something positive on the news before we get here on a Wednesday night to talk about. I feel like it's another shutdown. It's another sickness. It's another whatever, another political thing, whatever it is, and it's constant right now. Do you know that the world is so hungry for somebody to tell them good news? And you know what the good news is? Paul told you, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the power unto salvation for all who would believe. The good news, the death and resurrection of Jesus, you don't got to know nothing more. You just tell the world Jesus loves them. Jesus died for their sins, past, present, future. Jesus rose again. Jesus is coming again. He's got a better world. He's got a better kingdom that is coming one day, and that you, whoever you are, could be a part of it. You know that? You know enough. Now get busy. You understand? Because he's saying to us here tonight, the longer we try to save our lives, the longer that we try to keep face, and the longer that we try to fit in. Because what's the point of not being a disciple if you're a Christian? What you're trying to do is ride the line, I'll tell you that. You're trying to have one foot in, one foot out. You're trying to be able to laugh at the jokes at work and still keep your Bible in your glove compartment. You're trying to glance at the picture of porn that he shows you, whoever he is, and still be faithful to your wife. You're trying so hard because you don't want to be ousted. You don't want to be ridiculed. You don't want to be labeled. You know what I'm talking about. I don't know what you ladies face, but similar things in your realm. You're trying to stay in with the girls. You're trying to still be a part of whatever the girls do and still go to church. It's very wearisome to raise your hands and bow to this God, the true living God, and to the gods of this world. And it is the most miserable person who seeks to do both. You've got too much Jesus to enjoy the world, and you've got too much of the world to enjoy Jesus, and it stinks. You're ruined for this world if you're in Christ, so you might as well become a disciple. You understand what I'm saying to you? You're ruined for this world. You'll never have fun the way that you once did when you were in sin because your eyes have been open. You've tasted and seen. You've had filet mignon wrapped in bacon. There is nothing out there that's going to compare ever again. That's why backslidden Christians keep coming back. Because they go back, they get duped by the devil, but then they come back, they're like, man, it wasn't what I thought. Of course it wasn't what you thought. If it was so good the first time, you would have never came here to begin with. If y'all are doubting tonight, is it really as good as he's saying it is? Well, what are you doing here? You tell me. I don't know. I haven't been out there in like 17, 18 years. You tell me how good it is. You're here. Wednesday night Bible study. I'm doing what I'm called to do. You're here because you're obviously thirsty. You're obviously hungry. And Jesus is here to minister to you and encourage you and say you might as well become a disciple if you're a believer. You might as well be all that you can be for his glory if you're going to be a part of the kingdom. I don't want to be mediocre. I don't get off the stage and think, you know what, I'm content with my preaching and that's that. Never do I do that. I actually, more times than not, want to punch myself in the face. No, honest. And I go just as hard into Sunday as I did into Wednesday for the glory of God. Because I believe that whatever you do, you should do with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind, and all of your strength. If you're a school teacher, if you're a welder, if you're a doctor, if you're a mom or dad that stays home with your kid, whatever you do, you put your hand to the plow and you don't look back. You don't look to the left or to the right. Our generation's weak. We're quitters. We can't be that way when it comes to the kingdom. He's speaking something to us. And he's saying, hey, if you're going to enlist, you might as well be in active duty. You might as well get an AK and start blasting the enemy's head. There's a calling here. There's a message here. For what does it profit a man? It's like he's reasoning with us. I believe that he's somewhat reasoning, don't you? What does it say in Isaiah 1:18? Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Does that not blow you away? 8 o'clock on a Wednesday night, what'd you do? God reasoned with me. Nobody in Washington wants to read. They don't care what you got to say. Nobody in Albany really cares what you have to say. Aren't you amazed that God Almighty will reason with you? You can't reach some of these guys' offices if you try. You can call their office a million times, sign petitions, whatever you want to do. You can't reach those people. God Almighty says he's reasoning with you right now. Because he realizes underneath the laughing and the camaraderie and the praise and the clapping and the amens and the encouragement of the body, he realizes that we got to go home with ourselves. And every single one of us tonight have to climb into our beds with ourselves. And the reality of these things being worked out in our lives is altogether different than just being in church and hearing them preached. To come after Jesus, to deny myself, to take up my cross, to follow continuously him. Take up my cross. People make jokes. I can't tell you how many sermons I heard. You know, take up my cross. My mother-in-law is my cross. Or, you know, I'm on a diet and trying to pass to the donuts is my cross. That's not your cross. That's not what he's talking about here. That's a mockery to the cross. He's not talking about a life situation or circumstance, your trial that you're going through, because we all got trials. So don't start trying to fling around your trials as excuses. We all got trials. He's talking about your life as a whole. These are things that are hard to swallow and to go home with. So he's reasoning with us. He gave you logic. He's saying, what are you going to do? Try to save your life? You're going to lose it in the process of trying to save it. But if you lose your life, you'll find it, and the message can go forth, and God can glorify himself. And he continues to reason. Why? Because you're not convinced. And I can see it. And it's not fair for me to expect you to be convinced at the sound of my voice, because I've already wrestled with these things for a lot longer than you've wrestled with them, and I'm still wrestling. So right now what he's doing is he's stooping, and he's looking into the eyes of those of you who aren't convinced. You're not ready to stop going to girls' night. You're not ready to stop going out with your buddies. You're not ready to put an end to that fling that you have with her, whoever she is. You're not ready to stop looking at those images. You're not done putting those substances in your body. You're not resolved right now. You're not convinced. And God Almighty, who can just smite you, is so after your soul that he continues to plead with you. And he continues to reason with you. And he asks you questions that are thought-provoking. They're not like, what in the world does that mean? What do you mean? What does that mean? Look what it's right here. It's very flowy here. He says, he's asking you this as an individual. For what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his soul? He just wants you to answer that tonight. What are you taking in the grave with you? I bury people all the time. I've buried very wealthy people. They take nothing with them. Maybe their best suit, their nicest outfit, maybe a piece of jewelry. They take nothing with them. So he's saying to you, you're living in this world. He's calling you to discipleship. He's understanding that you're contemplating actually following after him the way that he wants you to. And he's saying to you in the context of doing that very thing that he wants you to do because he loves you so much. He's saying to you, he's saying to me, he's saying to us, what does it profit you? If we're talking profit and losses tonight, you get the columns going. What does it profit you, he says, if you gain the whole cosmos, that's the word there in verse 36, the whole created universe, and you lose your soul in the process? Because Satan doesn't care about your soul. And you want to know something? It doesn't take the whole world for you to sell your soul out. I watch it all the time. It's my biggest passion right now, trying to convince people not to sell their souls for that little taste of pleasure. You're going to say no to Jesus tonight? Being a disciple of Jesus, walking hand in hand with Jesus for what? For her, for him, for it, for that, for what? For temporal pleasures, for the dollar, for the almighty dollar. The dollar might not even be around in a few years. The United States of America might not even be a nation. We don't know what's going to happen. What are you going to bow your knee to above God Almighty? You're going to ruin your family. You're going to ruin your witness. So, Pastor, you say, I'm not going to go to heaven? No, you're going to go to heaven, but people aren't going to take you serious here. David, you sinned against God, and you've given the heathens great occasion to mock. You'll never be taken seriously again, not just by the enemies of God, but by your kids. You want to live with that condemnation? This is sobering. This is sobering. And the Lord spoke to me today, Dave, tell the people and tell yourself this first, that it don't take the whole world to sell you out. It just takes a little temptation. And you're done. And I've never heard anybody come back after and say, it was worth it. I've only seen sorrow, regret, and condemnation that is almost impossible for people to move past through. And the devil loves it. He tried to get Jesus. Hey, if you just bow your knee to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of this world. How did Jesus defeat him? The word and the spirit. You got the word, you got the spirit, defeat the devil. So he's asking you tonight. He's asking me, he's asking us as we wrap up our midweek. God forbid our midweek ever just becomes some religious thing that we do week in and week out because we've always done it. That's what we do. It's 7 o'clock, done it, 8, 10 on the dot. Forget it. Not signing up for it. I got to deal with the Lord. Lord, you either show up and speak in and through me or else I don't want to go. If you're not coming with me to the stage, I'm not going on the stage. This is the reality of everything that concerns us. He's saying, what shall it profit a man? What shall a man give? He's asking you, what are you going to give in exchange for your soul? He's saying. Just such powerful things. What are you going to gain? Everything out there is a delusion. It's a facade. It's not real. It's fleeting. It's temporal. And it's a bad deal. Can I just say that before I move? It's a bad deal. Whatever deal you're striking right now, it's a bad deal. Because it's temporal versus eternal. So whatever's temporal can't go up against what's eternal. So whatever's getting dangled in front of you, whatever's making you contemplate whether or not you're going to enter into this discipleship, it's a bad deal. It's a bad deal. It's temporal, it's fleeting, and it's passing. He's drawing a distinction here. He's drawing a line. You can either deny yourself or you can live for yourself. He's giving you two approaches to life. You guys settle this. I got to settle it too. You could deny yourself or you can live for yourself. Number two, you could take up your cross or you could ignore the cross. Number three, you can save your life or you can lose your life. You just do what you want. This is on you to figure it out. But there's two lives. There's only two lives for you to choose. And he says, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed doesn't want anything to do with me. That's what he's speaking of in 38. And of my words, look what he calls it. And my gosh, is this not a relevant word today? In this adulterous and wicked generation, this sinful generation, this adulterous and sinful generation, Israel of old, ancient Israel, they were called the adulterous people, adulterous wife of Jehovah. But he's saying it's not just that, it's this generation that is sinful. They're addicted to sin. They love sin and they're whoring on me. One nation under God. Oh, please. Not at all. But he's still crying out in the midst of this. He's still reaching out for disciples. He's saying, and if you won't be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, then he says this to you. If you're gonna be, probably speaking of those who are unbelievers, he says, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with holy angels. That's really sobering. Because on Sunday, I just got done teaching to you guys that he said that he won't be ashamed of you. The flip is, if you're ashamed of him, well, then he'll be ashamed of you, which I don't know what to do with that beyond just tell you the truth. That's just very heavy, isn't it? But to disciples, it's he's not going to be ashamed of you, that he's going to talk about you. He's going to confess you to the Father and to all the host of heaven. If you were at second service, I didn't say this, but if you were at first service, then this will be redundant for you, so you have to hear it again. When it means that he's going to confess you and talk about you as one of his, it's not a thing where when you get there that he's going to whisper to the Father like, I know. This one was really tough. I know. It's not going to be a thing where the angels are all like looking at him, like rolling their eyes, like, oh, you let him in, you know. It's going to be a thing if he's going to confess you where it's like talking loudly and boastful, like, that is mine. That's my son. That's my daughter. My blood was spilled for them. I've washed them. I've made them white as snow. They finished, they fought, they warred, they overcame. Man, it was a wicked and adulterous generation. They were, you know, working at the U of R, RIT, Spenceport Central. They were working at this doctor's office. They were raising their kids in this neighborhood. And I know, angels, maybe you guys don't understand because you've never been recipients of grace. You know, the angels look down in bewilderment, the Bible says. They're looking at you like, what is wrong? Me too. They are, because they can't understand grace. They've never received grace. So we're going to be elevated above the angels in that sense when we get to glory. And the angels might have like a side combo with the Lord, and he's going to say, the fact that in the middle of an adulterous and sinful generation, where wrongs were called right and rights, they held their ground. Are they faltered? For sure. They missed church? Yeah, of course. I mean, they didn't always read their Bibles. That's besides the point. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony that Jesus Christ is Lord. And there's going to be this confession of you. No embarrassment. None of you are going to make him blush when he sees you, when we stand before him at the Bema. When the rapture happens and the trump sounds and we meet him in the air, there won't be a thing of like, that was an accident. They weren't supposed to come and you drop back down. It's just going to be this confession of you. But those who are ashamed, he says, he'll be ashamed of. And can I just leave you with this? If you guys would come to close this in a song. When he says the Father of the glory of the Father that Jesus is coming with, there at the end of verse 38, the Greek is, you ready for this? I don't make Greek. I can't even barely speak English. I don't make Greek up. You know what the Greek is there? He's about to come. It's not just futuristic. Like, oh, he's coming one day. Relax. It's he's about to come. With the glory of the Father, you swallow that one. The glory, no man has seen the Father. The glory of the Father he's coming with. So all of those divine attributes he's coming with. And the angels. What are angels? Ministers, messengers, relaying words to us, that minister to us. and they are vessels of judgment. He's coming with the glory of God, all of those divine attributes that speak of him, and a host of angels. He's coming. He's coming. He just keeps wanting us to hear this. He's coming. He's coming. Hold your ground. Keep the line. Stay strong. Eyes on Jesus. Keep following him. Though none go with me, I'm following him. Keep denying yourself. Keep taking up your cross. That's a daily thing. Matthew's gospel, when he gives this rendition, he says daily, because he knows. I took up my cross yesterday, Lord. I know. Do it again. New day. Take up your cross and keep following him. Hand in hand, side by side, crying out, calling out, constant confessions, honest confessions. And he says, when we get to the end of this age, I'm going to confess you. I'm going to confess you. It's like, what? That's so backwards. Here's what we need to do. We need a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I could sense it. So if you're here tonight and you just need to be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, would you just go ahead and stand? I'm going to pray for you. Just if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be a disciple of Jesus, go stand. And if you want to raise your hands, go ahead and raise your hands. I'm going to pray for you. Dear Jesus, I pray for your people tonight that are here in this place, God, that are raising their hands, they're standing to you. There's this sense in their life, God, there's a sense in my life that we're leaky, God, and that we don't have what we need to walk out these things that are in front of us in your word tonight. So, Lord, we look to you because we know it's not by our own might, it's not by our own power, but it's only by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And we ask you tonight to pour out your Spirit upon us, to raise up an army, a volunteer army that's here in this room, to serve you, to live for you, God, to represent you to this lost world. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on the prize. Help us not to be dismayed and discouraged. Help us not to check out and get numb and indifferent, God. Keep us vigilant. Keep us on our toes, God. And set our hearts ablaze for the name above all names. And it's in Jesus' name and for Jesus' glory. All God's people said, amen.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. My blood and water.